Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Everybody, welcome to Voice Rising, where each week we are diving into the big questions on how we as a humanity can fine-tune our body, mind, spirit system and heal through music. And this week I have a very special guest with me in studio, singer, songwriter, and film composer, Lisbeth Scott. So, Lisbeth, welcome to Voice Rising, and I'm very excited to talk to you today about the divine voice, music, and elements of healing in that, and yeah,
thank
that puzzle.
Kara. Yeah, I'm excited too. Happy to be speaking with you.
Beautiful. So I want to start this conversation in what I hope is going to be an easy place before we keep on digging deeper into those bigger questions of meaning. And so I thought we could start with, what is one of your most precious or strongest childhood memories that's connecting music and voice together?
That's easy. Yeah. My sister was a ballet dancer. She was quite mm-hmm. a bit older than me. So when I was a toddler and into elementary school as well, I spent a lot of time in the theater watching her rehearse. Mm-hmm. And she was with the Boston Ballet, and one of the biggest ballets they performed every year was the Nutcracker, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a section in that music where Tchaikovsky uses a really high repeating choir passage.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting there transfixed and thinking, wow, I have tingles all over my body, and this is amazing. I want to do that with my voice one day.
Wow.
And that stuck with me, and every year I would hear that passage in the ballet when I went to see my sister and think the same thought, and then I ended up doing it. So
you did. And when was that turning point for you? Everyone is always dreaming of finding the work that makes their soul sing, and you are definitely doing work that makes your soul sing. And so when was the turning point for you that made you realize that you wanted to dedicate your whole life? Because if you look at what you've been doing from, you know, you are a singer, you're a soloist, you're a songwriter, you're a producer, you are a film composer, I mean, the list goes on and on. You've dedicated your life, as far as I can tell, to the path of voice and music and sound.
I have.
Yeah.
And it was quite a surprise for me, because I grew up as a classical pianist, and mm-hmm. always thought that was the direction I was going to go. But in my daydreams, I would think about and dream about being a singer-songwriter and performing and creating music that way. And mm-hmm. I was playing for dance classes after I graduated with a piano degree, and I started messing around with my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the dancers came over to me and said, "You have an incredible voice," and I had no idea. So I love those things in life. And then I was playing for a class, and somebody mm-hmm. heard me who worked for Hans Zimmer, the film composer,
mm-hmm.
and they invited me to come meet him and sing on his film the next day, which I had no idea who he was or that you could even sing on a film. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of my career, and people started telling me, you know, coming up to me in tears after performances, which I started doing after that, and saying, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but your voice is just moving me and helping me and healing me. And it was at that point that I decided I was going to devote my life to using my voice to, in whatever context it appeared, to heal and open people's hearts and bring out the divine in everyone whose ears my voice touched. So that's been my intention ever since I began this path.
Yeah, and that one sense is also, if anyone out there doesn't know Elizabeth Scott, you should go and check out her music. It's everywhere, and 10 albums, right? And all of them with beautiful lyrics and very moving. And it reminds me of this quote, which I love so much of Rumi, and I'm sure you know it: let the beauty we love be what we do. And you have said, I'm quoting you now, so first I quote Rumi and now I'm going to quote you. You said that your favorite thing to do is to expand the beauty in the world, focus on it, share it, add to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So share your thoughts on that one. river of beauty right there.
Mm-hmm. I really feel like we're bombarded every day by, challenging elements of life in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like we each have a responsibility to focus on the beauty, because there's so much beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And as it gets buried, if we focus on it and add to it and expand it and share it with others, it can't help but make the world better, and it can't help but make the people around you feel better. Not to mention keeping yourself in a more balanced place where you can do your best in the world. And I like to put notes all over my house, little reminders for me that, and one of my favorites is, wherever you step, leave a trace of beauty behind. And that's a great philosophy to live by.
Yeah,
so
much of these great, you know, philosophies, whether it's, you know, I think the Dalai Lama said, my religion is simply the one of kindness, right?
So many
things, they literally cost us nothing as far as money goes, and nothing as far as emotion. It's just better. It's just everything gets better by it. So it's kind of like there's no reason not to do it, you know, to leave more beauty, to smile more often, to tap into kindness, to find, I have this theory anyway as a musician, and that we are always longing, because if we understand composition, there's almost always there's a resolution, right? There's almost, it doesn't matter how much tension is created, normally at the end of the song, you're coming home, it's resolved.
Right.
And so everybody I know who's a top musician, they're always the peacekeepers, because they're always trying to figure out, sometimes in a very disillusioned way maybe, but they're always trying to figure out, like, yeah, but we should be able to solve this, you know, we should be able to bring harmony into conflict, because this is in our nature, to resolve things. So the other thing that fascinates me with your work is, I mean, I think this idea that I hold very dear to me is that we understand that the voice has many different layers of vibration and frequency. And so we have the inkling of ideas, we have the inner voice work, we have the belief systems where we get anchored into, you know, identify with something. We also have our spoken voice, we have our writer's voice as a songwriter and a poet, you know, that we have, of course, that big, huge, wonderful, you know, 4-octave or more, whatever, singing voice. And what a lot of people don't realize is that we have all these voices that we've absorbed through books, through conversations, through media, through movies. Voice is basically, some people even consider it a reproductive organ, because we're just multiplying ourselves, giving and receiving through voice work. So what's it like for you? You're one of the rare people I know that actually works on all these levels. You work as a writer, you work as a singer, you work as a, you know, you're listening, you're receiving, you're listening to all those stories, you're putting them in your blood and bones before you compose. So you're really working all those multi-dimensional frequencies as an instrument.
Yeah, that's very true.
I mean, did you ever think you like this? Because most people say singer-songwriter, and it's like it's so much more. It is so much more.
It's a constant. I think of it like all these chords of energy, and it's a constant dance that we are. Some of us are aware of, and some of us aren't. But it's happening all the time.
Right.
And it's happening with trees and animals and people you meet on the street and people in cars you're next to when you drive and what you're hearing on the radio. And I realized that at a very young age, because even though I wasn't aware of what was happening, I could sense how I was feeling around certain people, around a television, around certain radio stations. And I would either be drawn to or repelled by those people or situations, depending on what the vibration was. And when I started really diving into singing, one of the things that most fascinated me was the vibration in my body and where it was and how I could manipulate it in a way to create sounds that made me first feel better and better, and then made my audience feel something, you know, feel better, more open, more heart-oriented. And this, it's just been a constant quest of mine. And in whatever work I've done, it's how I pick microphones, it's how I choose where I'm going to stand when I sing, and and the kind of breath work that I do. It's funny, the warm-up work I do is very minimal vocal work, and then about 20 minutes of Alexander breath work, because the breath work opens up all the channels in my chest, my rib cage, and my head, so that I can really fully use these vibrations to the best of my ability to do what I want. And yeah, it's a constant observation of life and the frequencies in it that creates the work that I do. I don't know if that answers your question. I mean, there's a whole
Think it's fascinating. It is like that. Just like you have that, you know, that sweet breeze that then carries the tune of the meadowlark or whatever. It is like that. And that's the thing that a lot of people about singing, and that's why it's, you know, such a beautiful thing to have you on the show, is that they just assume singing is like singing to the radio often, or, you know, it's about singing a song, and they don't understand this really sweet space of capturing melodies. I mean, you as a songwriter capture melodies, also as a singer. You know, I've been spending some time watching some YouTube videos and watching you in concert, and you can tell this deep connection between listening, between receiving, between being receptive, and then from that place materializing spirit into sound, right? So there's a circle, right, that's happening. And I think a lot of people are just reading notes and going la 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 la, you know,
right? I was just in Denmark doing a beautiful project with Stefan Oskarsson there, and that's what we were talking about, how it's such a dance between silence and sound. And, you know, I've worked with many different film composers and directors, and I go in and someone hands me an idea or a thought, and they say, "We have an hour to record this perfectly." And I say, okay, press record, let's do it. So it's very on-the-spot creation. And in order to do that, you have to have all your senses open and be completely aware of silence and sound. And where is the voice going to fit? And how is it going to fit? And is it going to be doing what you want it to do, complementing another instrument that might be there and doing a dance with that? And what's the frequency that's best for that. It's such a sculpting of sound process that I am in love with. I really am. But no one, yeah. You're right, no one realizes that.
And also when people think that silence is somehow not full of sound, right? So we say silence and sound, but I'm sure you mm-hmm. know that when you get quieter and quieter, that you have that inner frequency or vibration, that you're that essence of who you are that you're tuning into, right? So your silence is, I'm assuming, this is an assumption, but is singing somewhere.
Absolutely. And my friends are always laughing at me because I don't have radios or TVs. I don't have a radio in my car. I don't have a television in my home. I mean, I work with in my studio with monitors, etc. But I've always found that when I'm in silence, I'm hearing more music than in a clear way, and hearing the music that's really inside me. And that may be music that I've heard for years, or it may be something that's being created on the spot. But I just think, especially nowadays when we're so bombarded by sound everywhere and headphones and playlists and everything, you know. Shopping malls everywhere you go. I live in a very quiet place where I can hear the blood running through my veins.
Nice. I do too. Yeah, I have no television. There's nothing here except for quietness. Yeah. Yeah.
Quietude, I guess. It's a beautiful and very special gift to give ourselves these days, especially, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
Just withhold your thought. We're gonna think about that. We're going into a station break.
Great.
Remember that the beauty of quietude and silence. We'll be back in a second with Lisbeth Scott.
Cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off from school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm in studio today talking to Liz Biscott about voice, music, everything, frequency, healing. Beth, maybe you'd like to share with us, because one feels this connection between your lifestyle you were talking about before the break, that where you, you know, your space that you're in, you like to keep it also in a little bit of a quiet touch or calm so that you can tune into that music, right, before you step into the studio with all the monitors and blinking lights and tons of cables. I know about studios, although it has reduced, right, the cable salads, the madness. But in which way does your philosophy of life translate into the music that you're creating?
In order to create the music that I do, and I work on many different projects at the same time, I have to be able to compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, I have to have a really clear mind. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, I have to live in a very clear and peaceful space. Mm-hmm. And have a daily practice of meditations, which I do, because this is my life. It's, you know, it's not my hobby, or it's my life. It's how I am in the world. And so everything about the way I've organized my life supports that. And I think that's really important for everyone to think about. And it took me a while to understand that if we want to truly share the beautiful gifts we have to support them by our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to create or share. So, it's taken me a long time, but I'm really at peace and happy about the life I've created currently and continue to create, because it's changing all the time. But
and you're not 110. You're still young.
Not yet.
Have a lot of gifts to give. I would like to share with our listening audience a track, and also where they can really discover your voice. And the track I would like to share with them is entitled Translucent. And would you like to say a few words about this track before we play it for them?
Yes. A friend of mine, Michael Levine, contacted me with an idea called Imaginary Voices. And so I created this track with that in mind. And while I was doing it, I realized that it fit really well into a current project that I'm working on and playing with, which is exploring all the different frequencies of my voice as I stack them. So in some projects on this particular album, I have up to 70 tracks of my own voice overdubbed and layered. Mm-hmm. And I'm just fascinated with how this changes the frequency and the response when you hear it, and how it feels and sounds in the body. So this particular piece I wanted to put in a simple context of a song, an ABA sort of section. Mm-hmm. But and thinking about that, a sort of supportive stack of sound of voices, and then some textures underneath it and a leading vocal above, I created this track, all the while really conscious of how it was feeling as I was doing it.
Okay, well, let's listen in. Let's listen to the track Translucent by Lisbeth Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. That is lovely. We are back in studio with these words are almost too small. Singer, songwriter, film composer, producer, and .. Lisbeth Scott. And I think John Williams was right, because he said he did say that your voice is absolutely ravishing. Right? That's a good thing to say. And I think he was totally right. And you've been blessed with this instrument that obviously it was and is very connected and natural. I'm sure that you still need to connect with your meditation practice and yoga and what you eat to keep it all connected and in flow. Yeah. And you're known actually on the scene or in the business to be able to create many different colors with your voice, right? That's, I think, one of the gifts that you have. And so that people get to know you a little bit better, you've produced and released 10 CDs as a solo artist. And that's already a lot, actually, to produce and release and be on a tour all around the world. You're also an acclaimed film composer, so a lot of you started, I believe, doing, you know, the theme songs or theme tracks, and then you started expanding into complete films. You can always correct me if I'm wrong. You're a CEO of your own production company, which is Every Singer Loves Birds, so yours is Whistling Bird Music. Featured vocalists and songwriters on Hollywood's big blockbusters such as Avatar, The Narnia Chronicles, Shrek, and you're currently, I'm hoping I get this right, lyricist and co-composer for True Blood, which is HBO's first foray to Broadway, right? So are you're writing now for Broadway, is that correct?
Yes.
I don't know what else you're going to be doing. I mean, this is just a start, right? It's just all there for you. What does it feel like, Lisbeth? I mean, there you are in your quiet little corner somewhere, and then it's expanding out into the houses, living rooms of millions of people on these big films or with your albums, and they're taking you then with them to their car, to their kitchen, to their living rooms. You know, and they have your voice accompany them. What does it feel like to have that expansiveness come from that still point that you live?
It's funny, because on a day-to-day basis, I don't normally think about it. And then I'll get a beautiful email or hear something through a friend or at a performance and realize that what I'm doing is what I set out to do and what I intended to do when I first started singing. And it always moves me to tears. It never fails.
Yeah.
And there's something about the contrast between feeling like you're in this little bubble by yourself, which I am. I mean, I'm up at the top of a mountain creating music all day with my dog and the birds outside. And then when you go back down into the world, you forget that what you're actually doing is reaching millions of people. And that is such an incredibly fulfilling feeling. And, you know, I think I started out with small dreams because I didn't believe I could do any more than that. And now I'm realizing that that's not true. and the proof is in what I've done so far. So I just began to think, well, why not? Why not expand the way that I can reach people with the work that I create? And, you know, I think as singers, initially, we think the only way to do it is be on the radio and have giant video and, you know, perform in stadiums. But that is only one tiny little slice of the pie.
Right.
The way that we all, as musicians and creators of sound, can function in the world and can create a positive vibration in the world. So.
Yeah, I think that's very important for all of us, not only the singers and the artists that are creating beauty for the world, but also the audiences that want to support them and need to support them so that they have the ability to continue to create beauty, that it's not only about huge stadiums and big TV shows and this competitive nature. There's a lot of music that is being created that is supportive of, you know, beauty or wisdom or goodness or kindness. And it's so important that we support those artists, right? And a lot of independent artists, which is now, it is now possible. You have, you know, your own production company, which allows you also, which I think is very important. I think that's very important. It allows you to really, truly follow your instincts and your artistry.
Right.
And I think that there are a lot of artists that I know, they get pulled into contracts or they choose to go into big contracts, and then they feel somehow compromised. And they follow a certain, you know, idea of success, which is also often, you know, created for them or with them. But they struggle really deeply. And so if you are able to create it, not only the voice, I mean, this is but it's also a very fragile and vulnerable, because you're putting your truth and your lyrics out there. You're putting your voice out there. Many of the top artists, they might just be singing a song that's written by a team of five people, right?
Yeah.
And you are standing 100% behind your creations, not only as a songwriter. There are also songwriters that are writing for other artists, but you're there, you know, there, taking it all, good and bad, rain and sun, but a very big journey, I can imagine, of really, of integrity and honesty and truthfulness and self-acceptance and self-love. Yeah,
yes,
I'm just
really
assuming as I've walked certain paths.
I know, you know as well. And I mean, yeah, I can't tell you the amount of people that have said to me in the past, you're crazy, you know, you want to focus on this one particular thing, but how are you ever going to do that in this world? And, you know, I'm a Taurus, I'm stubborn, and I also know how I feel, and I'm intensely aware of, as you, sensitive to my surroundings and what other people are feeling, and I just knew what I needed to do and what was needed in the world, and this is my gift, you know, and it's a struggle in the beginning to get to that place where you can say, no, this is what I'm doing, leave me alone, and then you start to attract the people that support it, and because no one is an island, ultimately, and once I think you're clear about what you want to put into the world, you attract the right team and people, and it's a pure, it's just pure joy, you know, rather than, and I think I had to, and we all had to go through the challenges in the beginning to figure out what the right thing in the right place is for us as artists.
Yeah, and that again is coming back to that voice work, right? This show is all about voice, and do we have the courage also to sit with all the many layers of opinions and critics and everything, and then just start distilling it and figuring out, okay, what is it? What am I really about? Like, and everybody has a different focus, I'm sure. You know, some people are really, they really love the, I mean, maybe the rhythmical dance things. Other people might love and maybe people, and I'm assuming you're one of these people, it's an assumption, you like many of the all and the above, right? It's like you might be in a mood some days to have the world music sound, and then you might like a country sound, and then suddenly you're like, oh, classical piano. That, I like that. And then maybe I can layer that with bird chirping and mantra.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yes. And yeah, you're right. It's a world of many different flavors, the musical world we live in. And yeah, it's what feeds us and continues the creative process.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. Beautiful. Well, let's just see. Let's see if we can slip into a station break early, because otherwise I'll have to cut you off, actually. We'll see if we can do that. There we go.
Okay.
And then
okay.
I can just deepen my talk with you when we get back.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
We are back in studio with Lisbeth Scott, and we're talking about voice and sound healing, affirmations, beauty. We are talking about so many things. And so, Lisbeth, you've been quoted. I've been following you here now, and you've been quoting. And I love this idea, because you spoke at the beginning of the interview that you're coming from classical piano, right? You were a pianist.
Yes.
And later moved into music. And I found this quote, which I just loved, because as a musician, we know that the piano is considered almost like the orchestra of all instruments, right? Mm-hmm. It can do harmonics and rhythm and everything. But you said, I had more to say than the piano could hold. Right. So, yeah. So I want you to speak about the times that we're living in. You touched on it a little bit, but the times that we're living in and why it's so important for you not only to create projects that uplift and empower others, but also, I'm sure, support other people to speak up and to use their voice. They don't have to be singer-songwriters, but they might have interesting words or an interesting take that needs to be heard in a conversation. Mm-hmm. So do you have
I
any?
Think, Yeah, I think it's very easy these days to get buried by what we perceive as the rest of the world is doing or thinking or saying. And, you know, with Facebook and Twitter and everything, and not to mention the governments that we're all being subjected to right now, it's insane. It's pure insanity, and it's all geared towards, well, it feels to me like manipulation and negativity and divisiveness, creating this really deep chasm between people. And what it does is it, first of all, fills your brain so that you can't access your own thoughts, and it starts to make you disappear in the world and in yourself. And I've noticed this by my own response. And so I think that it's more important than ever to start really cultivating and supporting our own voices and visions of peace and of kindness and of humanity and of love, and because the world needs it now more than ever. The beings in the world need it now more than ever. The animals, the earth itself, nature. I mean, with all the traveling I do, I feel it. I just feel it so much wherever I go. And I mean, in the past month and a half, I've been in Hawaii and in Denmark, and God, you can just feel the vibration of the land and what it's saying and how it's like a sponge taking in all this energy that is being spewed out by humans all over the globe. And the more we can work to raise the vibration of that energy, the better chance we have of, you know, helping the world. And it needs a lot of help right now.
Yeah,
so we need, and we do that by individually helping, listening to, supporting each other, and by supporting the highest version of ourselves. I really, truly believe that. And if you find yourself going down into jealousy and anger, and just, you know, have a set of tools to take yourself out of that place. And always find a way to reach out and uplift and, you know, choose kindness. It's just more important than ever right now, because I think, you know, the world history goes through phases. We can see it if we look back, and we're in a very intense phase right now, and out of that comes transformation, and transformation only happens when you speak up. And it's funny, because I've mentioned that I'm very fascinated by the vibrations of the voice, and of course my voice in particular, because I hear it all day and work with it. And somebody sent me some information about the frequencies of vocal frequencies and angelic frequencies within the voice. And they said that the frequency of 528 hertz is transformation and miracles. And I was sitting in my studio working, and I suddenly realized that when I look at the frequency analyzation of my own voice, it's the highest one is 528. And I always have a tendency to want to boost that frequency and a slightly higher one in the 900s and 1200s up. And because it feels like it reaches more into the heart. And that's my way of, you know, in a very specific explanation, of trying to do that with the voice, with the gift that I have. And I think that each of us has that potential to delve into, whether it's words or whether it's a way of listening to other people or whatever it is, creating video games. Find a way. Find a way. Get into the higher.
I often say that we are able to shift harm to harmony. We have that ability, and the people just simply have not found the trust in it, because we've been conditioned to think in duality. But the truth is, we can shift harm to harmony, and that's what's so beautiful. If we understand music, if we understand the you know, what needs to come into the room if you have that tension? How do we release it? How do we, if we start thinking like the nature or also like music, then that we have a lot of, a lot of tools to support us. Yeah. I want to share with our listeners your second track, which I have it written down as Christy Curie. And I believe you said it's also in the process of being, you know, brought out as Mercy. So let's just dive into that track. We can talk about it after we hear it, and then just savor this thought of shifting harm to harmony and bringing beauty into our world. So here we are back with Liz Biscott and talking about everything from frequency, high frequency wellness, daily practices, how to stay tuned. And I have a curious question for you. We know that there's one element in filmmaking that is still dominated very much by men, which is film scoring. And how is your voice and your vision as an artist, songwriter, film composer, obviously a female film composer in the business and a CEO from your own production company, changing that landscape?
You know, it's changing dramatically right now, especially in 2018 when all of the allegations came out and the female voice started to rise to the surface, and people are actively really looking to work with female composers these days. Many producers, directors are reaching out, and it's really wonderful to have these opportunities where it was a bit harder to get through the door. It's getting easier. And, you know, I think there's a lot of catch-up that has to be done because I started out thinking, oh, I could never do that. It's just not something that women do. But then there are people like Rachel Portman and Deborah Laurie and these wonderfully talented women that have been quietly doing their work and learning their craft for years. It is possible we do have that voice, and I'm loving it. I'm really loving the opportunities that I'm being given and the chance to basically go to school again and expand my vision of what I can do and allow myself to create the music that I do hear in my head but may not have known how to create previously.
Right.
So there's a lot for me that's happening in terms of crashing through boundaries, some that have been set by the paradigms of the business before and some that have been set by my own inner voice.
Right.
And it's just really exhilarating and exciting time. So there
Do you have a... Yeah, do you have a daily ritual or a voice practice? You were talking before about your warm-up, but do you have a ritual or voice practice that helps you stay in that finely-tuned, vibrant place, or is it a combination of so many things that we've heard during this interview?
I do. I have my own I have several different practices. I do an energy clearing and grounding meditation, which by now is like second nature to me, so I can literally do it in 30 seconds. And then I have some angelic meditations that I do, some on my own, and there's a wonderful woman named Melanie Beckler, who has a site called ask-angels.com, and she's got really high frequency meditations on her site that are free, 30 seconds.
Nice.
There's someone named David Elliott who does pranayama breath work, and I do his work. It really tends to immediately bring the oxygen into my body and brain and lift the vibration right away. And then the Alexander work. So it depends for me on where I am, but every morning when I wake up, I do at least a half an hour of breathing, meditative, focusing work on just bringing all my energy back to myself, clearing it, grounding myself, connecting to the divine high vibrational energy. I think that's an important one, and one that everybody needs to remember. We are connected, but we just forget.
Right, and obviously also you were talking about how the space that you've created, also I'm assuming in your studio you keep that as a sacred space, that you're that the space that surrounds you, that the also maybe the other music that you, if you do listen to other things, that you try to choose the frequency that you're ingesting, you could say that. I mean, that you're absorbing, that we take it in through our skin, not only through our ears, right?
Yeah.
So we're taking it into our system. Where's the best place where people can connect with you and, you know, find your CDs, find maybe where you're in concert while you're touring or traveling? Do you have an address or?
Yeah, there's a couple different spots. There's lizbethscott.com. LISBETH.com. There's a lot of information where to buy music there. iTunes. I have a huge presence on iTunes, on Spotify. I have two albums, Om Sweet Om and Eternal Om, that are specifically for meditation and yoga and just being still. And they're available everywhere, you know, iTunes, etc. Valley Entertainment released those for me, and they're a wonderful, really great vibe label in New York. You can find it there, valleyentertainment.com. CD Baby, Amazon, Facebook page is Lizbeth Scott Music, Twitter is Lizbeth Scott, Instagram is at Lizbeth Scott Music. I'm everywhere.
Yay!
Come visit me.
Yeah, that's right. You are everywhere, and we want to come visit you, and we want to slip you into our ears, in our headphones, even if you might not be walking around with headphones all the time. Some of us are, so we can slip you in. What's one thing that you would love people to know about, you know, voice and the healing path of voice that they may not know, that you've discovered for yourself in these last years in your process of becoming, more one with who you are, what you're creating? Is there a word or a vision you'd love to leave us with?
To really be aware of opening your heart and allowing your voice to come from your heart through your throat and out your mouth, and really understanding that our voice, whether we're speaking, whether we're singing, humming, however we're using it, is allowing us full expression and full presence in the world. And that is a unique recipe. Each person has such a unique makeup, and each person is so important. And the voice is the embodiment of that makeup. So I think, as you know, the work that you do, it's essential.
Yeah.
Absolutely essential.
Do you have a trick? Sometimes I have clients. I mean, I know my tricks, but I'm into knowing your tricks. What if they have these really, really big, passionate hearts, and they have this feeling that their throat is just too tiny, and it gets all tight and knotted up when they really sing from their heart? Do you have a trick to keep the throat open and wide and receptive and available for them to? So many, we'll have to have you back on another show.
Yes.
Yeah, to share with us one.
The lion's breath is the first thing I do to open up, and I think everyone knows that. But then I go into just really completely releasing the bottom of the throat and separating the teeth and the back of my throat.
Nice. Exactly. Oh, beautiful. Lisbeth Scott, it's been really an honor to have you on the show. I thank you so much. I hope we have the opportunity to continue to deepen the conversations. I love having you here with me, and I wish
you
much success.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You too. It's been a joy.